What is good, ladies and gentlemen? I am live here on YouTube. This is the Unhinged Wrestling Podcast. I'm sharing the links here to Twitter and Facebook and all of that. Today we're going to do a new series. As you can tell by the title, it is called Let's Redo It. I don't know how many parts this is going to be, but this is part one. The general synopsis of this series, Let's Redo It, will be essentially I'm going to take a feud or a title run or just any, you know, character or gimmick, and I'm going to either rebook it or, you know, book it in a different way, right? Rebook it. How would I actually have used this gimmick or this title run or, you know, this feud? How would I have done it differently? Maybe would I have done it the same? What changes? And ultimately, I'll come off the top and say that this is probably not going to be the best booking ever. You know, it may make, you know, the storyline, you know, you may not agree with it. That's fine. I'd like to hear your thoughts and opinions in the comment section. I may address some of those as I finish, you know, my the way that I'm going to do that. Like, it's not going to be like one of those live streams or podcasts where, like, I read comments as part of the podcast. Now, I might read it at the end if there's comments that I want to read. So to start this, I want to address, before I begin this whole thing with this episode, sort of from the beginning, my philosophy on booking. I tend to feel that a lot of the wrestling that we see on TV is a week-to-week booking style, where storylines don't actually have, like, an end date planned. Especially on WWE. It feels like it's, we're going to start this, and if I don't like it next week, I'm going to scrap it. And there's really no end date, right? And so I don't necessarily, I don't book that way, right? I'll get into what we're rebooking here in a minute, but, you know, the first question I asked myself was, when is this booking starting, and when is it ending, right? What is the end goal in mind? What are we planning with this? Like, what is the end goal? And then we fill in the details in between. So with that being said, the title run we're running is Dolph Ziggler's World Heavyweight Championship run in 2013. The cash in on the Monday after WrestleMania 29. So I thought that it would be a good idea that, I mean, the story didn't, this run did not have to be a long run. And so I'm ending it at SummerSlam 2013. It's about a 4-month title reign. I think it's a better run than what he actually got. Right. And so I want to start off with saying that, I mean, this is a very short reign. Now, I'm also not the type of person who would, you know, when I go through this, I'm not going to go down how I would book every Raw and every SmackDown and every pay-per-view in between these two dates. I'm not Alvarez. I'm not Meltzer. That's not sort of my style, right? They would come in here with 18 pages of notes on how they would book Dolph Ziggler's title run. And I don't have time nor the detail of understanding to do that. right? A little bit about me. A lot of these are going to be from when I got back into wrestling. So the end of 2013, around this time period, about 2013 into 2014 was when I started getting back into it. Right, I was born in 97. So, right, I grew up at the right at the beginning of the Ruthless Aggression era, but not, don't really have many memories of the Ruthless Aggression era, right? So I would consider, you know, my generation sort of the PG era of fandom, right? And I think, to me, Dolph Ziggler's the most underused talent, I think, of this generation, in my opinion. I don't believe he's gotten the chance, even with like his IC or mid-card title run, he really didn't do much. And he's more so of a gatekeeper. I don't think my booking changes that status for him. I actually think it sort of establishes it again. And so the last thing I'll say before I jump into how I would actually book Dolph Ziggler's title run is when I booked this, it wasn't me saying this is my idea, right? This is my idea. Now I'm trying, the sort of format is me talking to Vince McMahon, trying to convince him that this is a better idea than what he would have. From reading from Vince Russo's books and his hearing his podcast, it seemed to me that that was the biggest part of his job, that he really had to convince Vince McMahon that Vince Russo knew better in terms of, like, Vince Russo's ideas were better than Vince McMahon's. And that was a big part of his job, and I feel that that's a big part of any booker's job when you're dealing with someone like Vince McMahon. So a lot of these ideas are me trying to, you know, rationalize how I would convince Vince McMahon that a Dolph Ziggler title run longer than 2 months would make sense. And so to do that, the goal is not to get Dolph Ziggler over. Everyone knows Vince McMahon does not like Dolph Ziggler. So to put him over and to constantly put him over in a way that would only benefit Dolph Ziggler, Vince McMahon wouldn't approve. Right, so, well, what's the end goal then? Well, there has to be someone that benefits from this title run or else it makes no sense. And we'll get to who benefits towards the end of the video, towards the end of my booking. Actually, we'll talk about it now. Who benefits the most is Big E. So at this time, Big E and Dolph Ziggler sort of ran together with AJ Lee, right? And I felt Big E should have got the biggest push ever when he, at this time, you know, nine years ago, right, is when this championship run should have started, right? So let's go through how I would book this. So the three pay-per-views in between WrestleMania and SummerSlam are Extreme Rules, Payback, and Money in the Bank, okay? So we're going to start with Extreme Rules. That was the first one. Extreme Rules in St. Louis, Missouri. I would have Dolph Ziggler for the whole month after he won the title, after the cash-in, basically talk about how he's the greatest wrestler, you know, how he's now the champion, he's the best in the squared circle, he's the best mat technician, blah, 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 you know. His gimmick, right? You know, the show-off type gimmick, right? I would have him display that to toxic levels. To where, you know, it's almost annoying. Because that's what good heels do. They get annoying. Also, at this time, it's important for me to note that Alberto Del Rio, this is important, Alberto Del Rio, due to the in-ring injury, the kayfabe injury, was announced that he would miss, you know, 2 months of action healing from the injuries that he got at WrestleMania. That's the storyline for why Alberto Del Rio is not on TV. And so who's the first competitor for Dolph Ziggler. Who's going to challenge first for Dolph Ziggler's title? Well, Dolph Ziggler's sitting there bragging about how he's the best in the ring, so that brings out Daniel Bryan, right? And I think this would make a wonderful feud. Two very good mat technicians, and I would have this end with a 60-minute Iron Man match at Extreme Rules. Main event, no Extreme Rules gimmick match, just a 60-man Iron Man match, most falls win, and the booking up to it would have, Ziggler and Ziggler would win on Bryan 1 week, and then Bryan would win the next week, and then Dolph Ziggler says, you know, no more matches, let's just do this, you know, you're up one, I'm up one, let's do a 60-man Iron Man, we both think we're the best in the ring, on the mat, let's do 60-man Iron Man, and then I would have this match end with only one fall, and it would happen with about a minute left in the match, where Dolph Ziggler gets the pin on Daniel Bryan with about a minute left in the match. Right. I just think a 60-minute Iron Man match with Dolph Ziggler at this point and Daniel Bryan also at this point. This was before Daniel Bryan had the neck injuries and he could do everything that he wanted to do. Right. He was on the ascension. And I think this would not only build Daniel Bryan, but also help legitimize Dolph Ziggler as champion as he goes through this 60-minute match, winning it, right? It's also, you know, we're also building up Big E while we're doing this, so Big E wins the Intercontinental title. Now, in 2013, Big E really did win the Intercontinental title. I think it was in, like, November of 2013, so, I mean, we're boosting this push about 6 months. He wins it off of Wade Barrett by distraction by Dolph Ziggler, which is important because the next pay-per-view is Payback. So Big E loses this match the next week or the next Raw, the next day on Raw from the pay-per-view. Wade Barrett comes out and complains about how he was ruined out of a title shot and he doesn't want a rematch. He wants to face Dolph Ziggler at Payback for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I think at the time Brad Maddox was GM. Brad Maddox says, sure, why not? We'll give you this match. You'll have Dolph Ziggler at Payback for the World Heavyweight Championship. Right at this time, Big E, who we're also building, right? So we're not only booking Ziggler, we're booking how Big E here. Big E retains the title. He starts a feud with Curtis Axel. Who at the time, he ended up, was the one that Big E ended up actually, in real life, actually winning the belt off of, if you can remember. But Big E and Curtis Axel start the feud for Payback. Wade Barrett ultimately loses, Ziggler retains at Payback, and Big E also retains the belt from Axel. Now, Axel and Big E would continue their feud. And now we're moving into Money in the Bank. So after Payback, the Raw after Payback, Ziggler starts off Raw talking about how, you know, he's the champion, still the greatest thing ever. Whoever wants, you know, I've beaten Daniel Bryan, I've beaten Wade Barrett, who wants next? Right, and I'm big on, you know, these month-to-month feuds. I'm not a big fan, you know, I'm not a big fan of, I don't think every champion needs to have a 6 month feud, right? I don't. Especially when you have like a transitional champion like Ziggler, right? Which is what we're booking him as. Because the ultimate goal isn't to get Ziggler over, it's to get Big E over, right? So he's announcing, you know, I'm champion of two successful title defenses. Who wants next, right? So ultimately we're booking towards Money in the Bank. And, you know, they do this a lot in WWE. So, you know, six guys from the locker room. I mean, it could be like Miz and CM Punk and Randy Orton and, Cody Rhodes and I'm Trying to think of who else was on the roster, like Jinder Mahal or Drew McIntyre or something, could come out and talk about, you know, how they want a shot for the belt, right? And Brad Maddox comes out. I think he's GM at the time. He comes out and he says, none of you guys are going to get the opportunity for the belt at Money in the Bank. However, all six of you will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Winner gets the briefcase, right? Dolph, who you are facing, is a man who, you know, he hasn't got his rematch yet and is back from injury. He's healthy. He's just been cleared. You're facing Alberto Del Rio. Here's your rematch. Remember, back in this time, they still did the rematch clause, right? You lost the title, you got your rematch, right? Either at the next pay-per-view, some wanted it the next night, right? I mean, I've gotten so used to it not happening in WWE anymore, but it was a thing, and I would have continued it. It's also important to remember as we continue to build into this, that WWE, at least on TV, used to have a clause in the contract where the champions had to defend the belt at least once every 30 days. And if they didn't, they would then vacate the belt. Now, I think that's important to have. I wish they would go back to that. That's important to have for one reason. It's an easy opt-out if your champion gets hurt. So let's say at this payback match against Wade Barrett, you know, Ziggler goes to do a super kick and he lands wrong and, like, snaps his ankle in half. Right? You can have Ziggler win the match and then the next night on Raw say, well, Ziggler's unable to perform, therefore he has to vacate the belt because he can't defend at next month's pay-per-view. Right? Right. So that's important to have because that's going to grow into the storyline. Anyway, at Money in the Bank, Dolph Ziggler faces and defeats Alberto Del Rio. Axel loses again to Big E at Money in the Bank. The winner of the Money in the Bank briefcase doesn't matter for this booking. Anyway, so the Raw after Money in the Bank, Ziggler comes out. He starts the show. He announces how he's, you know, the best. He's now defeated three guys. There's no one else in the locker room who could beat him. He's the best in the world type thing. Right now he goes on to congratulate Mr. Money in the Bank, talks about, I'm looking forward to meeting you in the ring whenever you decide to cash in. However, you're going to have to find me first because I'm going on vacation and I don't know when I'm coming back. That does mean I won't be at SummerSlam. However, in my stead, I'm going to put my protege, Big E, in my main event spot at SummerSlam. Big E versus Curtis Axel in the main event of SummerSlam. Now, this isn't a big money match. I get it. Big E, then at the main event, right? So we go through SummerSlam. We go through the whole event, right? We come to the main event. Big E. Or Curtis Axel enters, then Big E enters, right? They get ready to ring the bell, and Dolph Ziggler's music hits. Ziggler walks out with a microphone saying, hey, I'm done with my vacation. I stopped by, I was in town, and I just so happened to remember that there was an event here tonight, so I figured I'd get up and close and personal, right? I forgot to mention this when Big E won the title, right? I would book him as Ziggler distracting Barrett, which led to Barrett was distracted. He turned around and walked in straight into a big ending, which then led to Big E winning, right? So, and Big E's defenses have all been by distraction from Dolph Ziggler, right? So Ziggler's now ringside. No one's playing for it, not even Big E. Excuse me. And so at some point in the match, Ziggler goes up for a distraction, and the ref is the one that gets distracted, tells him starts telling him you need to get off the apron, you can't interfere. In this point, AJ tries to hand Big E the belt to, you know, use against Curtis Axel. It was at this point, you know, Big E turns around with the belt that Curtis Axel low blows Big E while the ref is, you know, distracted. After that happened, you know, the ref, you know, Ziggler gets off the apron, the ref turns around. Curtis Axel hits Big E with his finisher and 1-2-3 pins. Big E loses the IC belt at SummerSlam in the main event, right? As the, you know, the show goes off the air, they point the camera showing Big E. He's fuming. He's furiated because he wasn't expecting, you know, Dolph to be there. Then they show Dolph and he's sort of like smirking and laughing. Right? And then, so now we get to the Raw after SummerSlam, right? Mr. McMahon starts the show. He talks about how successful SummerSlam was. I think SummerSlam's was in LA this year. But anyway, he talks about how successful SummerSlam was, starts listing all the titles that were defended or that were, you know, all the matches that were title matches, and says, well, we happen to have one champion who didn't, you know, defend his title, and that's Dolph Ziggler. Dolph, I'm here to tell you, because it's been 30 days and you haven't defended, you're going to have to vacate the belt. Well, Dolph comes out and says, Mr. McMahon, you signed my vacation paper, you know, something around this. You signed my vacation papers. You knew I was going on vacation and that I couldn't defend my title. How are you going to have me vacate it? And then Mr. McMahon says, you know what? I'll be nice to you. I'll give you an ultimatum here. You either defend your title tonight against an opponent of my choosing, right? We'll find you an opponent in the back sometime by the end of tonight, and you either defend your title tonight, and if you do not show up for that match, you will vacate the title, right? So we go through the whole rest of Raw, right? So now Ziggler's in the ring. He said, okay, you know, I'm going to defend it. Mr. McMahon is shown on the screen. He says, hey, Dolph, I'm getting ready to send out, you know, your opponent. All of a sudden, the lights go out. The lights come back on. And Ziggler's knocked out in the ring with Big E standing over top of him, like dressed in like a hoodie and sweatpants, right? Big E picks Dolph up, puts him in his corner, walks over to his corner, tells the ref to start the match, in which he does. Big E, you know, runs over to Ziggler, still trying to catch his breath. Big ending, 1-2-3, Big E becomes champion, right? Thus ending Dolph Ziggler's title run and beginning Big E's big push. And like I said, this isn't the best of storyline in terms of like big long feud that has matches that'll mean something. But the ultimate goal is to use Dolph as that transition champion to build Big E into a powerhouse champion who is, you know, he becomes the world heavyweight champion. Right. And then and he can be taken sort of legitimately from this point. Where they go from here, I don't know. Didn't really think all that through. Not much changes in the history books of WWE from this booking. You know, Curtis Axel still ends up becoming Intercontinental Champion. Big E still ends up becoming Intercontinental Champion. Now the question is with Big E becoming heavyweight champion at this time, do we get New Day? And if we don't get New Day, then, you know, we don't get, you know, the New Day versus the Usos. We don't get all these other type of matches at all involved at all, right? So that's the episode. That's essentially it. Like, I don't want to keep you guys super long. Like, I don't have the ability to, you know, want to do that. Like, I try to keep my podcast episodes as short as possible. Especially when I'm doing something like this, like I'm just going to get to the point and get it done with. Right. Let me know what you guys think. You can find me on Twitter at Unhinged WP. That's UNHINGED WP on Twitter. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. Let me know what you think, and let me know other, you know, feuds or title runs or something like that. Let me know what you would like me to do one of these for. I plan on doing these at least once a month, maybe more than that. Let me know which feuds, title runs, stuff like that, characters that you would like me to book. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thank you.